Welcome. Welcome in. It is Thursday, folks, here on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network, now powered by the Believe Network. Thursday means one thing, folks. It's the Big O Show here on the Overreaction Sports Network, powered by Believe. I am the Big O, Jerry Ostrowski. I'm solo today. My man Fina, my man Miller, they're out trying to make a living, I guess. So you got me today solo here on the Overreaction Buffalo Network. And I'm excited. Hey, if you're out there, if you're watching on Twitter or X, you're watching on Facebook Live, hop into the comments. I love my people, Richard Rush, Scott Blakely, Maggie's jumped in. And come on over to the comments. And what you can do is you can jump in, and we're going to have a little bit of interaction. If you got a good point, you put something up on the comments, I like it, I'll bring it up on the show. But today I want to talk about some things. I want to talk about a few things. And those things are, we still have a few question marks with this Buffalo Bills team rolling in to the 2024 season. And some of them you may think are pretty obvious. Some of them might not be so obvious, but we'll dive into them because I think they're pertinent to talk about. I think they're things that need to be discussed. And again, like I said, if you're over in the comments, you got something to say about it, type your comment in. If it's good, I'll bring it up on the show. But the first thing I want to talk about on today's Big O Show is we got three things I want to talk about. But the first one is this. And when I look at this Bills team and I look at the ownership, I look at a team that has had a lot of success as of recently after a 17-year drought, and I look at a team that's getting ready to move into a new football stadium in a few years, I look at the top, folks. And when I say the top, I'm not talking about Terry Pegula. I'm not talking about Brandon Bean. I'm talking about the head coach of the team. I'm talking about Sean McDermott. That is the first question that needs to be answered. Is Sean McDermott the long-term answer for this Buffalo Bills football team? McDermott is 73-41 as a head coach. And this is what's wild about McDermott. 7 years as head coach. This is his first head coaching job. I don't know if he was a head coach in high school or whatever. Some of these guys have been. But as far as college goes, as far as the NFL, he was a position coach. He was a position coach under Andy Reid, also Ron Rivera. He moved up to the DC role, was a DC for Reid in Philly, was the DC for Ron Rivera in Carolina. Also had some really, really good defenses at both places. Did go to a Super Bowl with the Carolina Panthers. But when I look at Sean McDermott, and I know there's a lot of Bills Mafia out there, there's a lot of fans that look at Sean and are like, is this guy the answer? And there's really no lukewarm feelings about this. And when you start getting into 7 years, you start getting into, I mean, that's a long tenure for a head football coach in the NFL. You start hearing the same messages. Things maybe get a little bit stale. I think personally that McDermott is a hell of a head coach. I think McDermott is right now the perfect head coach for the Buffalo Bills. I think he's shown that with some of the hirings he's made, with the firing of Ken Dorsey last year midseason. He brings in Joe Brady, and we'll talk a little bit about him here when we get to the second question mark, the second point that I want to get into. But he brings in Joe Brady to run this offense. Obviously, McDermott known for great defenses. This is a Bills team with the one and only Josh Allen, a team that has been highly successful as of late. But when you look at this team, only 5-6 in the postseason. They have a losing record in the postseason. Only one AFC championship game has been reached. A team that many, many feel should be a Super Bowl contender yearly. Whether it's the obvious elephant in the room and the fact we can't get over the hurdle that is known as the Kansas City Chiefs in the postseason. We have lost to the Bengals in the postseason. But if you look at this team run by Sean McDermott, 0.640 win percentage as a head coach, a clean head coach, no issues, no problems, an amazing handling of the DeMar Hamlin situation. I personally like Sean McDermott. I've known Sean McDermott as far as a coach goes since his days in Philadelphia, growing up in Philly, being an Eagles fan as well as a Bills fan, following that team closely. And I like the way he runs things. The thing about McDermott is this. When you start getting into question marks about head coaches, I liken McDermott's situation, and I want to tie him in with Mike Tomlin. Tomlin is a guy that many believe, and I'm one of those guys, could very well be the best head coach in the National Football League, a guy that has not had a losing season, a guy that has had a lot of success in Pittsburgh, a guy that had a generational quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger, even if it was the latter part of his career, a guy that has won one Super Bowl. And that's what's crazy about this to me is we talk about Tomlin, we talk about all these successes and everything else, but you look at Tomlin's overall record, it's not amazing. If longevity or winning more than you lose, winning one Super Bowl, which, by the way, Bills fans, we would take that, right? One Super Bowl won. But if you look at these things, are the Bills setting up this franchise with Sean McDermott to be more like the Pittsburgh Steelers with Mike Tomlin? Is stability and having a really good man and a good person running your football team, a guy that wins more than he loses, is that more important than the next hot thing? Because we know there's a lot of franchises out there that like to go out and try to find the next hot head coach, whether it be a college guy or a pro guy. Scott Blakely chimes in. He takes all the heat but creates only a little by himself. Think he is great for us, and he will get us to the promised land shortly. I believe that. I agree with Scott. I think that McDermott is the guy that is correct for this job at this moment, and I like what he does for this team. I don't really want to turn the TV on and the show constantly be the head coach. And you have that in a lot of places. The show is the head coach. I personally don't want a football team where I open up the newspaper or open up ESPN online, and every other day, one of our players is in the Daily Blotter, is doing something that's not good, and is being talked about and is being written about, right? I don't want that either. I want a good man that's a good football guy that understands the game and is able to put a winning product on the field, and that's what we have in McDermott. And the other part of this is you look at Josh Allen. Josh Allen is six seasons into his career, right? He's going into season seven. To bring in a new head coach in his seventh season, new head coaches want new players. You're back in the middle of a rebuild, okay? Another 2-3 years to rebuild, bring in the players the coach wants. Now you're looking at Josh being a 10-plus year veteran. I don't want to rebuild in the middle of at the height of his career, as far as his productivity and him being this franchise quarterback. So that's something else you have to look at too. Now, granted, if this franchise falls flat on their face this season, has an absolutely horrible year with the moves that were made and the things that were done, yes. I mean, the first place you got to look is at the top, right? That is the first place you got to look. All accountability stops at that office. We talk about it all the time as players, a corner office. The corner office is the head coach's office. The buck stops there. So if this franchise has a really, really down year, even in the middle of a soft rebuild, I don't think this is a rebuild that's crazy. I don't think it's a rebuild that's over the top. I don't think we're looking at a team that's trying to position themselves in the top half of the draft for draft picks. I mean, this is a team that should still win a lot of games and win the AFC East this season. So as far as question mark number one for this offseason, Sean McDermott, yes, obviously we have to play 17 games in a postseason if we qualify for the postseason, and then we'll reevaluate. But at this present moment, I don't think he's on the hot seat. I don't think his job is in question. I love Sean McDermott. I think he's the proper man for the job. and I expect this football team to continue to do well. So that's my first off season question as we roll into this fall camp, Sean McDermott. My second question mark of this football team, and I bring it to you this way, Bills Mafia, as you're listening to the Big O Show, it's Thursday here on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network, powered by Believe, and we are really, really excited by our new partnership with Believe, and as things get rolling, we'll let you in on some things, but we've got an opportunity to do a lot of stuff with them, and we're excited for that as we move forward. But as we said, you know, before in some of the releases we made, you can still find all of our great content at the same locations that you always do. Again, if you're on X, you're on Facebook Live, hop over to YouTube, get into the comments. If you got something good, I will put this up. I will put it up on the screen and we'll talk about it. But as we move into my second question mark of this offseason, I ask you this: where are the explosive plays on offense coming from? When I look at this offense and I look at other offenses around the National Football League, a lot of them have that ability to take the top off of a defense, stretch the defense, and make big plays in the passing game. Quick review of last year, and I'm going to bring up not everybody, the Andy Isabellas and those guys I'm not going to bring up in this point. I'm going to bring up the guys that were with this, the main players of this team last year in the wide receiver room and also the tight end room. You know, obviously we don't have Gabe Davis anymore, who was a straight line speed guy who could do some things over the top. We don't have Diggs anymore. After five games, he faded anyway. But if I look at our players and I look at this team from last year in the wide receiver room, we talk about Stephon Diggs. He was 4 for 16 of throws over 20 yards. Okay. 4 for 16 of throws over 20 yards. He did have no touchdowns. Then we talk about Dalton Kincaid. He was 3 of 7, throws over 20 plus yards, one touchdown. Gabe Davis, 6 of 17 for 20 plus yards, two touchdowns. Khalil Shakir, 3 of 3, 20 plus yards on throws. He also had two touchdowns. A guy that people say is not a 20 plus yard type guy, right? We all talk about Shakir when we talked about the draft and bringing in a new wideout, maybe a couple of wideouts, getting free agents. Shakir was always the guy we talk about in the slot. Me personally, I think Shakir is a wide receiver that correlates across the line. He can play outside and inside. Yes. Do I think his best position is inside? I do. I do think his best position is inside. I think that's where he makes his money. But I do think he can play outside if we need him. And I think there's some things you can do matchup-wise with sets and formations and motions to get him one-on-one with some guys that he has athletic mismatches with. But again, Shakir, 3 of 3 over 20 yards, one touchdown. Dalton Knox, 0 of 2 over 20 yards. And then you look at our new receivers. Mac Hollins was 1 of 6 on throws over 20 plus yards, no touchdowns. Curtis Samuel was 5 of 8 with one touchdown on throws 20 plus yards. And Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and we all talked about his issues throughout the season last year with drops. Scantling was 6 of 19 he had one touchdown over 20 yards. Scott Blakely with a super chat. We appreciate you. He says, thanks. I love this channel. Best about this recalibration is defense has so many things. Defenses have so many things to consider. I agree with that. And we're going to get into this whole explosive play thing. And is that, it was almost kind of like a loaded question. And Scott, again, thank you so much for the super chat. We appreciate you as always. And you can hop on in. You can throw up super chats. You can hop in on the comments like Richard. James Johnson is in with us. Again, hop over and we'll get you up here if you got something good to say. But when I look at this offense, the guy that I look at when I start talking about this question of plays over 20 plus yards, right? Well, that's the guy calling the plays, all right? He's going to have to call plays where you're going to try and take it over the top. And that guy, of course, is Joe Brady. And Joe Brady is a guy that came, he was an OC at Carolina for a year, but his claim to fame, if you don't know much of his background, Joe Brady was co-OC at LSU with Mike Ensminger. And Brady was credited for revolutionizing that offense, who, by the way, had Joe Burrow, had OBJ, had Jarvis Landry and many others. Had the running back that is in Kansas City as well. But Brady is credited with revolutionizing that offense. And because of that, in that season, Brady won the Briles Award. Frank Briles, longtime head coach at Arkansas, their state sports association, whatever, they put on a banquet every year. They give out the Broyles, excuse me, not Briles, Broyles, Freudian slip. You got to understand where we are down here in Oklahoma. The Frank Broyles Award, and it's for the best assistant coach in college football. And that year, Brady won the Broyles Award for the best assistant coach. So comes with a big pedigree, a lot of credit, a lot of validity to him. But when I look at him, I did a little bit of digging on Joe Brady. And I can go on YouTube, or I'm sorry, I can go on Google. I can search Joe Brady. I can read a bunch of things, but I'm like, why do that? I'll get it straight from the horse's mouth. So I called a couple of guys that were offensive coaches, one a former OC in the NFL, and asked him about Joe Brady. I asked him about his offense, his style, his philosophy. And when you ask these guys about Joe Brady, they both tell you the same thing. Joe Brady is a Sean Payton disciple. Okay? He is a Sean Payton disciple. What does that mean? Sean Payton is about efficiency. And when you start hearing what Payton's about, if you don't know what he's about, okay, you'll understand why him and Russell Wilson were like oil and water, and they did not mix. They did not get along whatsoever. Payton is about efficiency. He wants the ball out quick, okay? He wants to throw short and on time, and he wants to limit negative plays. So I bring to you this. Does that sound like a guy that's really worried about how many times he's throwing the ball 20-plus yards downfield? To me, it's not. Now I looked a little bit deeper into this situation. Didn't go back multiple years. I went back to last year because that's where we're looking at as far as, you know, Joe Brady takes over part of the way through the season. And we look at Josh Allen's numbers. So I pulled up Josh Allen's numbers of throws of 20-plus yards. Josh Allen was 29 of 82 with 8 touchdowns of throws over 20 yards or more. But here's the glaring number of this with this whole thing. So obviously that's well below 50%. But then you look at his interception numbers, okay? And I believe Josh had 18 picks last year. Of his 18 interceptions, 9 of those interceptions were on throws of 20 or more yards, 6 of them down the middle of the field. Half of his throws were half of his interceptions last year were throws of 20-plus yards. I've never felt Josh Allen, even with the bazooka arm, even with incredible arm strength, even with the ability to ad lib, I never thought his bread and butter was the big play downfield. I think Josh is a guy that throws it in the tight windows. Josh is a guy that can thread needles as far as, you know, the intermediate throws and things like that. Josh has never been really a super efficient downfield thrower. So when you take Joe Brady and the fact that he's a Sean Payton disciple and what he takes is important, then you take Josh Allen and his weaknesses, and then you take this wide receiver room, does it not make sense why this franchise drafted Keon Coleman? If you're asking, okay, I don't know if it makes sense or not, or saying that, to me, it does make sense. To me, it makes tons of sense why they took Keon Coleman. Keon Coleman is a big physical receiver that has strong hands, that can high point it, they can catch it in traffic, they can make contested throws or contested catches, can make one-handed catches and all those things. That is a guy that you can get the ball to and get it out on time, a guy that's going to make plays and limit negative plays. And then as he learns the pro game and can learn separation and get off of press coverage on a regular basis, then all of a sudden the route tree opens up to him, and then you start maybe hitting him on some bigger plays. But when I look at our receiving group this year, okay, and I look at this, and I look at the guys they bring in, Holland, Samuel, Scantling, and then I look at, and of course I'm going to blank on my guy that we brought in from Miami, whose career is being reclaimed. And if you're in the comments, please throw that in for me real quick as I'm locking up brain wise. But you see why this receiver group was built the way that they were. Okay. And Ralph brings up a great point. As we talk about this explosive play question mark for the offseason, Peyton is from the Parcells tree. Lots of handoffs and ball control. Exactly. And thank you, Lawrence Chase Claypool. That is correct. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate it because I was about ready to start banging my head into the desk. But you're right. You're right, Ralph. You're 100% correct. Brady's been talking about running the football. You look at short intermediate throws, getting the ball out on time. This is going to be that type of offense where we're going to limit big mistakes. We're going to make the plays that are there. We're going to nick you. We're going to cut you. And then hopefully we can make a big play here and there. But as far as why we look at why Xavier Worthy wasn't picked and why we moved into the second round and took Keon Coleman, this all makes sense to me. The onus of this offense is not going to be placed upon stretching the ball downfield that much. This is going to be limit negative plays, limit turnovers, limit Josh Allen's interceptions, make the plays that are there. And I hate to tell you this, guys, because this is the term that everybody hates, right? But it's kind of true. It's a bit of a complimentary football kind of thing. We're going to help our defense, and our defense is going to help us. So when I look at the second question I thought about the other day, where are the explosive plays coming from? We'll have some. We always do. But I don't think that that is the major focal point of Joe Brady and what he wants to do with this offense. They want to eat up clock, and they want to let Josh Allen do what he does, which is make plays with his feet and make the throws that are there and probably get a little bit away from a tremendous amount of ad lib that we seem to have over the last couple of years with Josh. So that's question mark number two. Where are the explosive plays coming from? Well, in my estimation, I don't know if we're going to really rely on a ton of explosive plays. So we got McDermott. We talked about him. We talked about where the explosive plays coming from. And last but not least, as we roll towards a half hour here on the Big O Show on the Overreaction Buffalo Network, powered by Believe. And again, we're fired up for our partnership with them. And again, if you're over in the comments, throw some stuff up if you want to, and we'll get on there if it's good. Pamela joined the show. Pam, how are you? Have not seen you in a while. Appreciate you joining us. As always, Daniel, also, thanks for coming on. My third question is this, and I didn't take a bunch of notes on this. I saw a video on Twitter the other day, and it made me think. Probably the biggest question mark as we roll into this offseason, and probably depending upon this person, how things may go on defense. And that question mark is simply one man's name, and that's Von Miller, right? We look at Von Miller coming off of a very, very subpar non-Von Miller year, a year that he was trying to get back from an ACL injury. Obviously, it took him quite a bit longer than most thought it would. We saw glimpses of the old Von as we got towards the end of the season. But I saw this video on Twitter. And we always see Von out in, pass rush U. He does his pass rush academy every year. And a bunch of guys from around the league come in, different coaches. And they have this big pass rush symposium that Von puts on. And I saw this video, and it made me happy. And Von didn't put it up. it was somebody else that put it up on Twitter. And it was Von Miller working out one-on-one with another coach. There wasn't this huge audience. There wasn't this big symposium. There wasn't all these people. It was Von honing his craft. And that tells me a couple things. One is this. Von may be older. Von may be slower. But Von is still Von Miller. And Von's mindset and his ability to set up rushes with just not only his mind, but the film study and all those things. And then watching him work on moves, a lot of new moves, tells me that he's getting ready to have a big year. And when I say big year, what does a big year look like for a guy that's what, 34, 35 years old off of a major ACL injury 2 years prior? What is a big year? Well, the only really experience I have with that is an experience of my own. And that's when we used to play Miami and they had a guy on their team named Trace Armstrong. Trace Armstrong from the University of Florida played with the Chicago Bears forever and then ended up in Miami, down in his home state, playing out his last years of his contract before he retired. And he was nothing but a third down, for sure, passing down specialist. And when I played against Trace, it was one of the more miserable experiences that I had. And the reason why was you knew that all he did all week long was study you because he has no other responsibilities. The only responsibility that Trace Armstrong had the week that they played the Bills was studying me and finding out a way to beat me in pass rush and get to the quarterback. That was all he had to worry about at 30-some years of age, with all the experience that he had built up in the league. And I look at Von Miller as the same way. I look at Von honing his craft. I look at Von working on pause moves, stutter moves. You know, I look at Von working on the ghost rush and all those different things that he does and new things that he was working on in this video that I hadn't seen. And I think we have to, I would say, come to an understanding that for us to think that Von Miller is going to be a three-down defensive lineman in this defense is probably silly. And if we expect him to, or he has to because of injury or because of subpar play by other players, has to be that guy, by week 17, we don't get the Von Miller that we all know and love. We get a beaten-up guy that's got a bunch of probably nicks and bruises and injuries, and he's a step behind. But if we can make sure that Von has that season or these next couple seasons where we limit his reps, we limit his plays in games, and we allow him to be the third down or passing situation specialist that we know he is, I would expect Von to have a really, really good season. Because when I've seen him physically, to me anyway, it looks like he's much further back than he is the other way. So when you look at him, if he can bring back some of the old mojo and just get close to what he used to be. Because this is, you know, the only problem with the whole Von Miller thing, and he's done a wonderful job helping the franchise with the salary cap, you know, reworking his contract continually and allowing space to get opened up on the cap for to sign others or re-sign his own teammates. He's done a wonderful job that way. He's been a wonderful leader. He's a hell of a locker room guy. But at the money he gets paid, the bottom line is production, right? We talked about it with question mark number one, Sean McDermott. When it comes down to it, at the end of the day, it's about production. It's about wins and losses. It's about playoffs. It's about having a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Vaughn, all those great things, all the accolades, everything about him that you love, when it comes down to it, the money that he's making, you've got to have production. And I have a sneaking suspicion we will see some production out of Von Miller this year. I think he's going to have a good season. So those are my top three question marks as we roll into the fall camp. We talked about the head coach. We talked about where the explosive play is coming from and got into some theory of Sean Payton and maybe just where this offense may be going to. And I think if you look at this, there's a pretty good blueprint out there of what we're going to see. If you listen and you listen to things like run the ball more, You saw what they did in the draft. You look at this offensive line that's a veteran group. And believe me, folks, as much as explosive plays are great, offensive linemen want to go forward. They don't want to go backward. I promise you. We talk about all these things, and Joe Brady being a Sean Payton disciple with efficiency, get the ball out quick on time, limit negative plays. And then you look at the way this receiving room has been built. It's been built to run a Sean Payton type of offense, I believe, and also to help Josh Allen with the one weakness that he does have, which is interceptions. And then we've also talked about Von Miller, which I think we're going to see a lot of good things out of him this year as he comes back year two after the ACL injury. So, folks, I appreciate you. Thank you, as always. Thursday edition of the Big O Show. We'll be back Sunday. Hopefully it'll be the three amigos. It'll be me, John, and Joe. And we're going to talk a little bit probably Sunday. I imagine we'll get into another one of the AFC divisions. We talked about the North the other day. We still got to talk about the AFC South, which I think is where we're going to go. We also have the West to talk about as well. So we'll break down the divisions within our conference as we move towards fall camp. And then as we get closer to camp, we'll give you our full lineup of shows. And again, you can always catch us on all the Overreaction Buffalo places like you always could. But remember, we're now powered by the Believe Network. And we'll have some more things coming down the pipeline as the season goes along with them. But you can also check us out on some of their stuff as well. So if you know somebody missed today's show, let them know the podcast will be out in the morning. But again, we'll be back Sunday night, 8 Eastern, 7 Central. I'm the Big O, Jerry Ostrowski. This has been the Big O Show here on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network, powered by Believe. Folks, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for coming out and listening. We're having a great time with this, and we wouldn't be able to do it without you. So much love, and go Bills.